Marco Werman here with The World. Every year, the group Reporters Without Borders ranks countries in a World Press Freedom Index. No surprise to find countries like China and North Korea way down on the list. But here's something you don't expect. Since 2011, Japan has dropped 37 places in that index. The decline has a lot to do with the way the Japanese media have covered the Fukushima nuclear disaster and its aftermath. In fact, complaints about censorship and a lack of clear information continue to this day. Sam Harnett has more.
Shigakami Matsu is 83 years old, and he never thought he'd move from his farm up in the mountains. He had rice paddies, vegetable fields, and 10 cows. But his house is near the reactors, he says, and he was forced to leave after the meltdown. It's been more than 3 years, and he's still living in a temporary housing complex. He just wants to know when the cleanup will be done, and he can return to his farm in the mountains. About 80,000 people in Japan are still officially displaced by the nuclear crisis. Many are frustrated by what they see as a lack of information, says Yasukio Tajima, a professor of media studies. Tajima says evacuees don't trust the government or TEPCO, the power company that owns the reactors. And now they're blaming the media for not holding them both accountable. He says many Japanese journalists were doing announcement journalism. They were just reporting the press releases of big companies and the people in power. But the criticism goes beyond a lack of investigation. Journalist Jun Hori says his news agency prevented him from accurately reporting what happened.
I am a newscaster, but I couldn't tell the true story on my news program.
Jun Hori was a TV anchor for the Japanese state broadcaster NHK. It was too cautious, he says, and it restricted what he and other journalists could say about Fukushima. Because of that, he says, NHK was slower than foreign media to report about the meltdown and how much radiation was spreading.
Yeah, very frustrating.
He says the attitude in the newsroom was, don't question official information.
I was on the ground in Fukushima, and a lot of people kept asking me, why didn't you tell us earlier about what is happening?
Out of frustration, Hori says he started tweeting uncensored coverage.
I got a huge response, but then my superiors said the NHK was getting complaints from politicians about what I was saying. They told me I had to stop.
The NHK says it covered the event accurately and promptly reported a meltdown. It did not address claims that it faced outside pressure from politicians to restrict Hori's Twitter account. Hori eventually quit the NHK and started his own website for citizen journalism, 8-Bit News. Anyone can submit videos and news content to the site. He says Fukushima showed people in Japan that they had to be proactive about getting information.
Until now, the Japanese thought someone was doing it. Companies, the government, someone. But once you peel back the cover, you saw that nobody was doing it.
Hori is part of a wave of new media launched since Fukushima. Everything from blogs and social media to documentaries. Journalist Yasumi Iwakami took live streaming video of press conferences, and he loaded that up with other coverage to a site called the Independent Web Journal. We just kept the cameras running, he says, all the time, even during the breaks at press conferences. We filmed everything, and we interviewed everybody we could. Iwakami says in Japan, if you want to say something clearly and directly, it takes a lot of effort. You have to do something crazy, like start a streaming news site run on donations.
That's very crazy.
And it's a big change for Japan's traditional media, says Benjamin Ishmael, head of the Asia-Pacific desk for Reporters Without Borders. He says with Fukushima, self-censorship was a big issue.
Some of the journalists really believed that they had a duty not to create a global panic, and therefore they had to withhold some of the information that they obtained.
Ishmael hopes Japan's alternative media can gain steam soon, especially since Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is moving ahead on restarting the nuclear industry. The first reactors are projected to be back online by 2015. For The World, I'm Sam Harnett, Tokyo.